mood. Une break präsentiert das Interview mit Lida.
Hi there, people. Here we are again in Cannes, live with Riti Pan, the director of many acclaimed documentary movies from Cambodia. He's here again, and it has been exactly 30 years since you were here the first time with your movie Rice People in 1994, if I'm right.
Yes, well, it was much more younger than today. And it's a Cannes, you know, it's a very special place and a unique place. And it's not only glamour, only fashion, only star, but also the place for different kind of film shown. Entertainment film, spectacular film, auteur film, young cinema, new cinema, you know. It's like a community of industry here. And it's in 2-3 days, you can see what happened. And it's very always interesting to come back. And this year is particularly moving for me because I was very lucky to be in competition here 30 years ago. I was a young director, and the first time I come here to competition, I did not realize exactly what it is. But it was great, and you know, it's sometime a big, great festival like Cannes open many doors to facilitate a little bit your work, and now you can, if you work hard, can help, you know.
And you have been nominated for Oscars, you have been at the Berlinale, where I had seen you the first time many years ago, so I also know your movies quite well, and that they are at many festivals. And now you're here with your new movie. It's called Meeting with Pol Pot, and as the title tells us, it's about a group of journalists who in the late 70s come to Cambodia to the regime of the Khmer Rouge, and they have the possibility to actually speak to Pol Pot. And this all happens before the knowledge of the genocide becomes public knowledge, so there are already rumors, and people know that you have been personally very affected by all this terror and the regime, and that your movies always, or many of your movies, center around the post effects and the repercussions of the Khmer Rouge regime, also directly on the terror. How was it to get this subject again and again into your work? Because I imagine it must be very, very hard to deal with this over and over again.
It's very complicated to answer. First, I think that if I didn't come through the Khmer Rouge genocide, maybe I will not make film. Maybe I prefer to be a teacher or have another life. Every life is interesting to live without war, without tragedy. And so this is part of my life, this Khmer Rouge crime. Of course, I can run away, but even if I run to the end of the world, I cannot escape, because I'm here. I'm here because other people helped me to be here, and those people are dying now. So I just want to tell who are those people who died and let me live. And it's very simple. Sometimes I make another film also, fiction film, but nothing to do with Khmer Rouge. But, you know, you have your wish to make film, and you have your like a duty, but it's not a duty. It's just I think that it's necessary for me to do, and that I, what I call to work on memory. It's a work. It's not a film, a work. A work, it's mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6, 7 film, I don't know. It's a work, like you go to school, like you go to work for your daily life. No, that it's not that you must to do, but your conscience asks you to do this work. And since I consider like a work on memory, I do it when it's necessary to do. It's all. But I'm not a director of Khmer Rouge tragedy. I'm a director of film. I'm a film director. That means that in each film, I have to express the cinematography language. How I can deal with that. How I can edit sound. How I can edit images. How I can ask people to put the light. How I can ask actor, actress to play, act. That is complicated. That is purely art, purely cinematography.
In your last movie, Everything Will Be Okay, you used a very inventive technique with stop motion. Mm-hmm. And you this time went back to partly do realist filmmaking, but you mix it with the stop motion technique, which I found very interesting. Mm. How was it to bring those two worlds of stop motion and realist filmmaking together?
Just a cinematography experience. I like the freedom in act of filming. I like this freedom. I'm not the creator of this freedom, you know. I inspire from other people. I have my master, and like Vaktov, like Chris Marker, like those people, you know, who really like La Jete, you know. Chris Marker make a film only with photography. It just
would you also use those photo techniques from realist photos?
Yeah, just that is on, and a wonderful masterpiece. It's a monumental. So that is because he is a poet. No money, okay, and we take photo. Or I have money, but it's just what I will do. And I will show you what is an image. And like Godard said, an image is just an image. You know? It's a real question. And for me, and very interesting to I have my history again. I will not escape it. I will die with it. But I like cinema. I like to practice cinema. Cinema is like something that give me permission to live again. Now, if not, I don't know who I am if I have not cinema. It's a really essential thing, necessity thing. So I till I'm still alive, I try to practice it to as far as I can. So the question how you mix that, I test. I try to find a good distance from me and story. Maybe I am not capable of filming the act of killing or the death or something like that. I don't know. You know, it just I try to find a solution and I try to test things. The clay figurine, I used it already one time. I believe that it's not clay. Just clay, because we call it clay. It can be an object with soul. So why not to implicate this in with archive? What is archive? Is from memory or just a capture of thing? You know, What is the point of view of this guy? And the actor, actress, like we are here. We are still capable of imagination. You know, I'm not destroyed by this tragedy. I'm still here.
Many aspects of this movie have a base in facts. We know that actually Western journalists did go to Cambodia and there were interviews with Pol Pot. How much of the story is actually research-based and how much is fiction where you free the characters to tell a broader perspective?
When I decided to make the film, I asked permission from Elizabeth Baker that I told her that, you know, it's not a biopic. It's not about you, but about maybe who you are. But it's a work for journalists. But I just inspired, you know. Some fact is real, but I think it's must be kept in the script. And some I created, imagine with the close script writer. But we shared the world. I know very well the chapter 11 of the book. I know it for years. And when we start to work, I did not read it again. I just give to Pierre Van Guillaume, you read it, I'm not reading it. And we were together, and he read it, he researched it, and then he proposed me something. I no, I said, yes, no. And I bring some story completely in my heart to include it. So, yeah. Because if a biopic, Iran must to make up, you know, to paint her hair in blonde or something like that, you know, it's better to be someone than look like biopic film, you know, the actual actress can do it very well, you know, to change a little bit here, you know, here, and okay. But no, I prefer to be more free for us, like free for Elizabeth also, because it's not her exactly, you know.
Despite the horrific circumstances of the story, there are very absurdist comical moments when we see what the Khmer Rouge regime does to fool the journalists. Like we have the scenes with this mock-up of an elephant, which looked very grotesquely. And were there actually such incidences, or is this purely imagination, or were there such weird attempts to fool people into a perfect regime?
Well, it's like a tale from my childhood, you know, when people think they are very smart, you know, everything, but in fact, what you can see, what you cannot see. And the people say, it's like a fan, if it is an elephant ears, you know, because it's just blindfold, and it's just, you did not see, you know, you don't see exactly what is reality, you know. That is a very main, very important sequence for me compared to how you can be blind when you are in pure ideology. That's why Alain Kogo to this, and he want to be friend with the young revolutionary, but at the end become himself and he see the reality, he has to die. Oh, don't say that. Don't spoil my film.
Yeah, it's a spoiler alert. But do you have any plans for a new movie?
Yes, but it's too soon now to say what. Yeah, as I told you, I have one idea. Maybe this idea is here for a long time. It's from a novel from my co-writer in book, Christophe Bataille, and he gave it to me for 7-8 years now. But I'm not ready yet at the time. Now maybe I'm more peaceful with me and with the cinema, I can go maybe to pure fiction now.
That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this great interview. I admire your work a lot. I won't hold you up again, but thank you. I've seen you at so many festivals, and it's great to have the honor to meet you. Thank you.
Meine Damen und Herren, Sie hörten das Interview mit Lida.